Blog Talk Radio.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why, oh why can my dream come true? Oh why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on every one, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear?
Well, good evening, and this is a great romance show, and who better than Elvis to get this started? Okay, it's the Red Hot Valentine Romance Show, and Cassandra Dane is my host, and we're going to have a great time tonight, and we have a lot of guests on. I know. Cassandra, hi, how are you?
Hey, how is everyone? It's that red hot romance week.
I know.
Cassandra,
I know. We've got
to
have you
here
for that. You here for that. And it's going to be a great show. Yeah, I know. No kidding. All right, and so we're going to have, actually, I am an author, romance writer also, children's writer, author, agent, radio show host, and Cassandra, I'll let her tell you who she is, but Cassandra has like a million books out also. It's going to be a great show, and it's the Red Hot Valentines, and it's a group of people that they've done a really fantastic job with, I've been looking them up all day to see everything, and they've all been doing really well with their books, and they all are promoting each other, which, as everybody knows, I love when people are sharing and caring and helping each other, because that's like the best thing. The people that are, I'll say their names first. There's a lot of them today, but some of them are not feeling well, so I hope they feel better. Kristen and Ty, they're in the chat room. We'll talk about them a little later, and because they don't feel well. But thank you for coming on. Okay, and we have Michelle Prince is here, Sable Hunter, Randy Alexander, Cassandra Carr will not be here, Graylin Rain is here, Shyla Coate, I don't know if she's here, I didn't get some of the phones yet, Kristen, and Aliyah Burke, is it Aliyah Burke, or Michelle?
I think Aliyah.
Is that Aliyah? Is it A-L-I?
How
do you say her name? Okay, Burke. Okay, and Jody Redford. And I think I did everything. And Desiree Holt, I think we're all right. Okay, and they're all going to come on and introduce themselves, and hopefully some of them will read if they want to. Nobody has to do anything. This is, as we know, a free-for-all show. When it's my show, there's no rules, so we all have just a good time. And whatever happens, if you don't feel like talking, you don't have to talk. If you want to talk, you can talk. And probably with this many people, maybe sometimes when we're talking, maybe we better say who we are, because for the people that are listening, they may not know who everybody is, and then you'll at least know. And because they're all going to talk about their books. And I'm going to let Cassandra talk about herself first, and then we'll introduce everybody who will come out. Cassandra, tell everybody about you.
I will indeed, and Marcia, you've got another one in the waiting. So
I know, I will. I'll get them.
And,
yeah. Okay, I'm going to just put them in. Okay.
And I'm Cassandra Dane. I actually am an author of pretty much any romantic, erotic genre that you can imagine, from male all the way to BDSM and sci-fi in between. I also host the Edge radio show, which is every other Sunday at 2 p.m. EST. On the World of Ink Network,
yeah,
where I highlight artists who kind of take their little work to the extreme. So I'm proud to be here. I love being a radio host, and thanks so much, Marcia, for being on.
Okay, thanks. I think I hear something. It's probably an echo. Is somebody, I'm wondering, is anybody,
yeah,
I don't, there is something. Oh, no, it's
turn your
now
computers
okay
down, guys, if you've got
any
noise.
I forgot. Right. I'm so good with rules. I know that. No, because sometimes, usually, you know, you can hear it sometimes, and sometimes if it's a cell phone, but I think we're all right now. Okay, yes, and Sandra, you're going to meet a lot of people because you know a lot of people in romance. You've been doing this for a long time. And so this is a very interesting show, and I think what they started to do is really a very interesting process. And some of them didn't know each other, and now they know each other. So, and I don't know who's on the line. The last one that I didn't say hi to, maybe if you could say who you are so I'll know who you are because we're on the air. So, a 651, do you know?
Oh, that's me. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Randy Alexander.
Oh, hi.
And
hi. Okay. Hi. I put you in without, you know, I just let you come in. So, all right. Hi. I have not met you either. All right. And this is, well, you know, I think probably the best thing to do is actually, I did organize this, which sometimes I like a lot of people, I try to organize. Okay. And so I did it alphabetically, which is very unlike me. Okay. Randy, I know you start, you got everybody together, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I have been in a couple of box sets over the last few months, and a Christmas one and a cowboy one, and decided that instead of doing the traditional box set, it would be fun to have a collection where all the authors self-publish their own books, and they receive all their own revenue from them, and then we promote each other very heavily, and it's worked out very well.
All right, that's great. I mean, because, you know, I heard you were on Bennett's show, and I was listening to everybody, and, you know, I looked up everybody today, you know, and I was reading about everybody. I mean, this is a lively bunch. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got a lot going on, you know, and a lot of it's heavy, heavy romance. You know, it's like heavy romance, erotic, and, you know, a lot of the previews that were on went right to it. See, I think, you know, I've just started doing I've been in this business for 20 years, but I just did the romance. But, you know, I've noticed that everybody's not gun-shy here at all. They just go right for it. So I think this is Cassandra, right up your alley here. That's right.
Well, you're absolutely.
Well, you know, it's not easy to always do this. For people to start.
Well, no, it isn't. And I find that what's interesting is people actually do get nervous even on a blog talk radio situation. And all we're doing is talking about great things like sex and books and
right.
romance and passion. And
right.
What a better week.
Right. No, you know, and it is true, though, because, you know, it is difficult for some. And so and that's why if somebody isn't on and they want to come on another time, they can. I think I will mention, before we're going to go, I don't know if Elia Burke is here now. I don't know. Is she there? No. So, and Shyla Colt is not here. Sable's here. I know we got
Oh, I am here. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, I know you joined this group here with everybody. You know, you're meeting some of these people. This was you know, you've been doing romance for a while, but you've met some of these people for the first time when you started doing the books together?
I did, although I was with Randy in the Cowboy Six Pack. We did that together.
I did notice
and,
that. I did yeah. see that you guys
was,
have that, yes.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. We had fun with that. And then I was with Desiree in a Christmas anthology. And then all of the others, I have seen them here and there and spoke to them, and it was just a joy to get them to get to know them much better. And I am so grateful for Randy for asking me to be with this group.
Yeah, it is, you know, when I was reading everybody's, I mean, even though some of the people have just, you know, there's a few that have started out, you know, but they've got quite a few books. And, you know, it's very interesting how quickly everybody stays in this field and they just, because I think one of the reasons I started doing a lot of romance shows is I did, like, I think 4 years ago when I started, we did a show. Well, Cassandra, you were always doing this with Red River before.
Right, absolutely. Several
yeah.
years ago, yeah.
Right, and I was always amazed when all the people would come on and talk about, you know, the romance books, and they were not whining, and they were having such a fun time that I said, this is really great. So I started a lot of romance shows because I thought it was so much fun because I have a lot of genres that come on, but I think that with the romance, it's kind of fun for everybody. So I think most of a lot of times I have to talk about this a lot because I think people out there don't realize that everybody has different lives. Whatever the romance book says doesn't mean that the authors are doing it. So I think that that's one thing I try to get across because it gets very, you know, a lot of people, though, which I think you're all out there, people just go, oh, no, I don't think I want to read a romance, sexy romance, and which is not everybody's just, you're just as everybody else. You do PTA, your mothers, grandmothers, whatever. So I think that that's now that you're all together doing something, you know, and people are showing this to each other, you know, I think this is why people are enjoying this a lot. And I do like having these shows, the romance hot shows, because of it. So, and, you know, I think I'm just waiting to see who's here and who's not because I'm just going to let everybody talk then because we don't have everybody here. So I really want to – I'm going to start over again and just let Randy say a couple of her books first. So and talk a little bit about that for just a minute, and then we'll just go down the line. And then I think if everybody wants to read or they don't, they can do that. Yeah. How does that sound? Okay?
Good. Sure. Sounds good.
Okay, Randy?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Well,
do you
want
to mention some of your other books? Yeah.
Oh, sure, sure. I write cowboy erotic romance, and I have quite a few books out there. I have another Valentine's Day. Well, I suppose I could talk about the Red Hot Valentine. It's called Redneck Romeo, and it's a story of love that was lost when it was young and found again when they are more mature. And it's about a ranch in Texas and a woman who's returning a piece of property to this family, and she and the son of the rancher knew each other when they were younger and fell in love, and now they get the chance to rekindle that love.
I think we can't hear again.
Guys,
I don't know. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I'm going to remind you guys, if you've got your computers and you're sitting in front of them, turn the volume all the way down,
yeah.
And anything in the background, try to turn it off.
Yeah, because I just did that. And I do that all the time. I know. Everybody has to do that. Okay. All right. So, yeah, all right. Then, Sable, you want to just mention you have something else happening in your life going on with your publishing. So do you want to talk about that also? We have time on this show, so that's why I want everybody to at least know what everybody does, you know, at the beginning of the show. So when we talk, you know, everybody will get it.
Well, I write erotic romance also, cowboy like Randy Alexander, and I also write mainstream. I have a sweeter version of my books. I have 32 out now, and I also have a fledgling publishing company that I'm working on and a magazine coming out later in the year and just having a blast. And the book that I have with the Red Hot Valentine is called True Love Fire, and it's actually my Hell Yeah 12. And it's been a fun book to work with. And it's about a doctor who goes vacationing up in the Ozarks. He is a playboy no end, and he's been burned by love, and he thinks he'll never fall in love again. And he meets this local girl up there and just gets swept off his feet. And not knowing what she does for a living, she actually is a song, writes songs, and it's his favorite songs. And when they fall in love, it's just quite a good time because they're feisty and they argue and they have hot sex, and it's just a good time.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with hot sex.
No.
That's for sure. Okay. All right. All right. Let's see. All right. Michelle, I know you're here. So, okay, Michelle, I'm going, wait, this is why I never write lists or questions, because I don't ever use them. Okay, Michelle, go ahead. Don't talk and tell everybody who you are.
All right.
I should have known better that I couldn't do a list. Okay, go ahead.
All right, well, Michelle Prince, I write interracial sports romance, usually, for the most part. And this one, for the Red Hot Valentine, I actually didn't have an athlete in it. I had a cop this time. And it's about a guy who's sent on a blind date and picked the wrong person, but he thought, and due to some other circumstances, which when I read my excerpt, you'll see why, this miscommunication ends up mistaken identity brings him who he really wants. And it's nice. They do a little sexting, I guess would be the way to say it, because they really have two busy schedules. And something happens that brings them together. Finally, they can get past that part, and they have to make some big decisions on she's well-to-do, and he's a cop, and, you know, there's the whole, well, can I be with a woman that makes more than me, you know, man thing.
Which is I'm just going to say, that's like a universal thing
That's a universal thing, and so there's that issue, and she's also very proud of, she's not going to give up any of her dreams, even though she is in love with him. And that's kind of my Red Hot Valentine one, and next month I have the sequel, or the second book in what's called my Growing Strong series that I have with Secret Cravings. The first one was The Guardian's Heart, and this one is called The Queen's Heart, and it'll follow, in The Guardian's Heart you meet four girls, one of which falls in love. Second book is the second girl, Mary Beth, and she finally gets over her, kind of her baby daddy, basically. The guy who got her pregnant in high school, who she kind of clings to, she finally learns that she doesn't need to settle. She can be with somebody who treats her well and, you know, puts her first.
I think that's a good. I actually think that's a good thing to write about, because I do think people think they have to settle sometimes, and that's a bad thing, you know,
happy. Yeah, she's got a lot of Catholic guilt, and her parents kind of disowned her, and she's, you know, you got that, well, if I just stay with the guy who I got pregnant with, then it's okay, and then my parents will love me type deal, and it doesn't matter what he does to me. So that's kind of what's going on in that one that's coming out. But yeah, that's kind of me.
You've been doing this. You've been writing for a long while already.
I guess officially now I am. It's my 10th book coming out. So I guess once I get to double digits, that means I'm doing something, I guess. So.
Well, I'm going to interrupt and say something about Michelle, cast. I've known Michelle now for, how long have we known each other? 2+ years? Something like that. She actually worked with me at Rebel Link Press, so I've known this lady for a long time. She's a fantastic writer, and I do a lot of the interracial pieces too, and she and I have had many an incredible conversation about how important it is to bring certain lights about, it's just a basic relationship, to the forefront of readers, and I think Michelle does a fantastic job doing that.
Thank you. I don't like stereotypes with my character, so I don't use drug dealer. I have black men. They're not drug dealers. They don't beat their women.
I remember when we had a show like that, we did have a show for interracial stories, because I was shocked to find out that people do, you know, there are companies, a lot of public, that won't do stories like that. I couldn't believe it. And that's why we had that show that time, because I was really shocked. As a matter of fact, Sable, I think I told Sable that we had a show like that the other day, because I was shocked about that. And, you know, yes, I do think we need to have more and more of these stories, because this is the world we live in, it's whatever. I mean, it's really too bad at this day and age it's like that, you know.
Well, and to totally break it, we're doing another collection, the group of us, and since obviously there's a lot of cowgirls around me, I've decided I'm going to do a black cowboy who works for the rodeo, because it's still a sport, and that'll be my one when we do our second collection. I will have a cowboy story, so I'm really breaking stereotypes there.
That's right. There you go. Okay. All right, Graylin, are you here? Graylin? Is Graylin here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, hi. Okay, hi.
Hi.
Do you want to tell, this is Graylin Rain. Okay, do you want to talk about yourself a little bit? I know, just a little. You don't have to, cause just so they know who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm Graylin Rain, and I write as Graylin Fox, Graylin Rain, and Rain Shadeen, because apparently I needed more personalities. I write fantasy, paranormal, urban fantasy, romantic suspense, plain suspense, erotic romance, and dark fantasy.
Wow.
Basically whatever pops in my head.
So you cover everything, practically.
Yeah, and if the 10 is the limit, like Michelle said, then I'll get there this year.
Okay. All right, so you had a blog hop, did you have a blog hop yesterday, or you had a party, I think, right? Did you have a party?
Somebody had a party. I was at I was at the Coastal Magic Convention in Daytona Beach this past weekend.
Oh, okay. Because I thought somebody, I don't know which one of you had, because I had so many notes here, I didn't realize how much everybody had, so I started taking notes on everything. And I know there was somebody that had a blog party yesterday,
this is Michelle, I'm part of a blog hop right now, the Smokin' Hot, I don't know, they're giving away a necklace. And
oh, the red necklace, so, right? The heart necklace.
Yeah,
necklaces. I saw that.
Yeah, I'm one of the authors, and I believe Randy's part of that blog hop also.
Yeah, because I saw the red heart. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. There are so many things now. It's not like it was. I mean, Cassandra, you must see the difference now, how much it's changed. I mean, my God, you know, there are so many authors now. You know,
well, there are
so
many authors. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yep, and they, you know, it's good and it's bad. I mean, the readers have an amazing choice now of authors to read, and yet for some of us who've been around the block more than once, you know, it gets a little tough because we're not sure how to take it another step, try to get our works out there to a way that is a little bit different than the norm. So it's really tough.
Yeah, I think it's very hard because there's so many people out there. Okay, okay, Kristen Love, is she in the chat? I think she's in the chat room, right?
She's in the chat room.
Okay, because her book, her book is Falling for Cupid, and it's a red hot Valentine story, and part of the group. And I know she didn't feel well, but I'll be happy. You can come on again at any time. You could email me because I know there's so many people sick. I mean, a lot of people are sick. So I thank you so much for coming, but you are part of this. And so is, let's see, we have what Ty is, and Ty invited also. So maybe when everybody feels better, I'll do another romance show. You could come on, and both of you, and let me say Ty's book so we don't forget anybody here. Okay, it's The Bet. All right, okay, this is about a bet.
And Marcia, I have an excerpt. Ty forwarded us an excerpt, so I'm going to... When we read excerpts, I'm going to read her.
Okay, good. Okay. Oh, that's good. All right,
so.
That's good. Okay, and that's
and
right.
If I could jump in too, I also have excerpts from Kristen Lavelle and
okay, good.
Jody.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. All right, so I think that's all that's here right now. I think. I don't think we're missing anybody. Okay, I don't. Maybe they'll come on later. I don't know what happened to everybody, but. We'll see how it goes because, you know, look, everybody gets busy and there's so much going on, you know, out there now. I mean, and once you start doing a blog and you're in something, which I should say what happened to me last night this is what happened last night where over 2 hours, I don't know if anybody's ever had this, but I go into my blog, I have like 6 blogs, I'm going to change. I keep saying that, but I want to consolidate, but I was on my blogs and all of a sudden I noticed that everything was all of the it's instruction part and everything that says the preview, whatever, it was all in German. I could not and a lot of it was English, but a lot of it wasn't. So because you do all these blogs, I remember, so then I was trying to go by the list and see, okay, this is preview, this that anyway, 2 hours later, I finally said, because I kept going into Google and asking how to translate it back to English. Finally, I went in, and there's a lot of people that this happened to. So I don't know why this happens, and in case anybody, just go right into Google and ask that question. Because I don't know if, has anybody ever had that? Probably not, but not probably me.
No, I've never heard of that.
Right. Yeah, this could be for me the first. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't. I turned off the computer. I restarted it. But whatever the blog was, that was in English. But everything else was in German. And I couldn't get it out. And finally I did. And I'm not even sure I remember how I did it. Because you know how that goes when you're trying everything. I was trying everything. And it finally worked out. But I don't think I was alone in this. So I think there are other people. So if anybody ever opens up their blog and it's in different languages, there is a way out. And it does take time, though. It does take time. Yeah. See, this is what happens. I mean, something happens on the computer. I mean, hours, we all know this, that hours and things happen and it's all around us. It's like, where have we been for those 2-3 hours? So, you know, being authors, and a lot of people are working too, so it's this is where all the time goes. It's amazing that people can fit in as much.
And hey, Marcia, can I ask the group something before they start to read and stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love to ask you guys, A, were the, you know, I think, Randy, you mentioned the inspiration. This was something that you had the idea for the collection. But, I mean, what has been like the you know, what did you sell it with? I mean, was it about the basically Valentine's Day? Was it about cowboys? What did you do to bring these authors to this table? And what has been the reaction of putting this together?
I think it's been a wonderful reaction from people. Almost everyone I asked agreed to join up. And, of course, Michelle and I know each other online, so I just had to strong-arm her a little bit. But it's always wonderful to have Sable, too. Sable and I have worked together before, and we both love each other's writing. So
you all have good numbers.
Say, I
mean,
love
all
her,
of you have good numbers. I mean, you've sold a lot.
Yes.
Very good numbers.
Yeah,
I think this is my biggest release.
It was just
Who said that, Michelle?
Oh, sorry. This is Michelle. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know, see, that's very interesting. But I do think because you all helped each other, though, that is such a great thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it's terrific how you did that. I mean, because you honestly, you know, you're coming on shows together. I look through everybody's, and everybody's putting everybody's name in, and I think that's really great. That's why your numbers are good, and it's fabulous. It works. You know, Cassandra,
and that was wonderful.
Now, how are you marketing this? What is different about, obviously, Valentine's Day brings a whole, you know, wonderful hit to the whole romance industry, but what are you doing that's a little bit different, do you think, that's bringing this to the forefront?
Well, this is Randy again, and I'll just say real quickly,
we have time. It's okay. It's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I want everyone else to get
their opinion, too. Yeah, they will. They will.
But the idea was that in each of our books, at the end of our books, is the blurb and a link for everyone else's books. So all other 10 books have their blurb and link in the back of my book. So if they enjoy my book, they'll look for others in the group, too. And selling these stories for 99 cents has been really wonderful because it allows people to get a taste of a short taste of our writing, and in Sable's case, a long taste. But but then hopefully they'll come back if they like our writing and purchase more books from us and become our fans. And we also have one person who's dedicated just to marketing in this, and she has taken a lot of her time to go out and purchase advertising for us and do advertising on Facebook and things like that. So it was good to have one person set up who was really a good promo person to help with it.
Yeah, that does help. See, that's one of the things. That's really what counts, and it's really hard to do all of it yourself. When you have somebody helping you doing the marketing, it's so much easier because it's almost impossible to try to do everything. And it gets frustrating and tiring, and this is what probably one of the reasons why it works so well, is that you did have outside, you know, somebody helping, which really is great, I think. Because I looked at the numbers on everybody's, and everybody's doing well, and they're getting good reviews. You know, and
hey,
I really wanted
Marcia,
to...
I'm going to interrupt for break identification, so to speak.
Okay.
These guys would love to hear from you guys out there in the radio land, so please call in. We almost never have call-in folks, and we want to hear from you. Your call-in number is 714-242-5259. And one other little small comment I'm going to make about the collection is I've noticed a whole group of authors lately have done exactly what you guys are doing, putting together some phenomenal pieces, selling them for, you know, pretty much next to nothing. Suddenly they're boosted to the New York Times best-selling list. Was that a thought in the back of your mind or just kind of a beautiful afterthought?
Well, that's how Randy got me. This is Michelle. So she's like, you know what happened with my cowboy six-pack, was it, or the Christmas one?
The Christmas.
The Christmas one got her to the USA Today best-sellers list. And I'm like, okay.
All have good websites. You all have good, you know, blogs, websites. I mean, I don't know how long everybody's been writing, but everybody is situated very good. You look good on the internet. You know, I mean, and that matters. You know,
yes.
And you know, I mean, and I wanted to meet Desiree Holt because I heard her on Bennett, and she's, you know, and I found some articles about her. She's got a lot going on, too. I mean, my God, how many books is she has? Like over 100, right?
Yes, over 100.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I'm going to try to get her on another time. But, you know, and she was in Huffington Post with these guys, these young guys. I mean, and she's got a lot going on. She has another name that she uses. So I think, you know, everybody here, you know, there's some people that have been here for longer than others, but I think the sharing that everybody did for each other, regardless of how many years they've been in it, is unbelievably, you know, nice. And it's great to see that. Because that is what I really truly believe, that if people share, and that this does work, because I think it's hard to do it on your own. Sable, do you have any comments on this? Because I know that you like to, you know, say some things about marketing.
Cooperation is key between the writers. I don't even feel like we're really competing. The market is,
right.
is the world. And I think that anything we do for one another, it returns threefold to us. And marketing, we have really approached it in a way that I believe that we're all reaching out in some different directions, not only the Yahoo Loops, we do the Twitter, we do Facebook. We're trying also to, you know, appeal to people on different release parties and websites. So we're trying to market ourselves in a way that benefits all of us, and not only this book, but this book is almost a lead-in to lead people to the rest of our work. And,
well, you're going to hit July, but you're doing one in July, I think you said, too. I heard you
yes,
say
Yes, we're doing
that.
One in July, and that's going to be fun, too. It's called Red Hot and Boom. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Red Hot and Boom?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to call my book, yes, yes, yes.
Well, it seems to work. I mean, this is true, you know. And and you're right about that, because we talked about this before, that competition, you know, this is not really – this is a good feeling when some of your friends are doing things that are good also. So I think, you know, that's why different authors can work together, because it's not – you know, it doesn't seem like everybody's, like, so competitive against each other. Everybody wants everybody to do good, and that is terrific. That part is really working well, I think, for you guys, because the numbers are showing it. Because that, unfortunately, doesn't lie. I don't think that the Amazon, you look at this, everybody does, even though you don't want to sometimes, you are looking at it, you know. And although I will say that I'm cutting back on a lot of this because I have to, because I think I spend far too much time. But I do, you know, when I do the shows, you know, and Cassandra knows this too, you know, when you do shows, you want to know about your guests.
Of course.
And
absolutely.
So I learned quite a bit. I don't like to learn it too fast because if I have a show last week, I want to know what's going on this week. And everybody here is amazing. I mean, it really is. You know, I got like so many pages to read. It's unbelievable because it's not. You all do a lot of other things. You know. So before we read, does anybody want to add anything to anything we've said that we might have forgotten? Okay, no, because we have some people.
Not that we can think of.
Okay, because we don't. Because the authors that aren't here, you know, I do have things on, but I guess, you know, I'll probably have to have them on another show maybe, or when they want to, you know, or because there's a few of them that aren't. So, Michelle, did you hear from any of them or no?
I did. Kristen says she will be more than happy to be on your show as soon as she has a voice again.
Okay, good.
She would love to be on any show with you. So
okay, good. That'd be great.
Make sure that I told you that.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so we have that. Okay, all right. So then anybody else that when you talk to them, that's fine with me. You know, so we'll just go from here. Okay. Before, I'm not going to read the list. Does anybody want to go first? It's like school. I want to see who says don't go first.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to do mine first, and then I'll do Ty's after somebody else.
Okay.
So kind of give me some. Because I got kind of a long one. I didn't know what to do here. But anyway, mine is called Tips from a Rose. And, one thing with marketing is you can go on any of the e-book sites and type in a red-hot Valentine story, and you'll pull up all of ours, which is one of our marketing things that we did.
That's a good thing.
You can type that in.
That.
You don't have to necessarily put in what was Michelle's book or what was Randy's book. You can just put in a red-hot Valentine story, and you get them all.
And you also have a page. You have a page on Facebook that says, you know, it's a red.
Yep.
There's a separate page. And I'm sure people will read those. Not only on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. All right. So, October 3rd, Chapter 1. Jenna, a deep male voice interrupted her lunch. Are you Jenna? Yes. And you would be? Marcus Peterson, Kurt's friend. He told me to meet you here. It would have been nice if Kurt would have told me I was meeting someone. Jenna set down her sketch pad and took in the cleanly shaven man with the liquid mocha skin coloring. He was smartly dressed with a tight cable-knit sweater, clinging a little too nicely to his chest and arms. There was no way her brother actually sent her a hot and sexy guy. I guess his idea of a blind date is more of a blind-sided date, Marcus said with a smile that caused his coffee-colored eyes to sparkle. You wouldn't mind if I gave him a quick ring, would you? Just to make sure you aren't a stalker who knows my lunch pattern. I insist. Jenna quickly dialed the letter, only to get no answer. His avoidance only confirmed he was setting her up. Of course he'd ignore her call when he sent a guy to try to pick her up. It's a public park. You might as well sit down instead of hovering over me, Jenna insisted as she covered the patty she'd gotten from the Jamaican food truck a few minutes ago. No answer, huh? No. So how long has old Kurt been planning this? I don't know, but he thought we'd get along. You eat here every day? Mostly. The food trucks rotate through here so I can get a pretty good variety without venturing into downtown. As a cop, I have to warn you against doing that. As a stalker, I appreciate your OCD. You're a cop. Figures. Why? Do you have a men in uniform fetish I should know about? Kurt's overprotective of me. And yet he threw you to the wolves today without warning. How long have you known Kurt? A few years. Has he ever made sense? I guess not, Marcus laughed. Damn, even though Marcus had an amazing smile, she could feel the familiar twitch of guilt for not using the time to work. Did I interrupt something, he asked? I'm an architect. I was sketching up an idea. You still do that? I thought it was all done on computers. Mostly, but, well, she wrapped her fingers tighter around her sketch pad. There's something about the way that leaf is lying. A leaf? He asked with an arched brow. I know it's crazy, but... She opened her sketch pad and showed him the design. She started with the arched sides. The lines in nature are symmetric, and I've always thought about somebody designing a building without hard edges. Not that I'm the first, but no. It's actually really cool. It's inviting and not foreboding. I could see it for a children's hospital or school. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. I was just looking at the general lines. I hadn't gotten to the usage yet. Jenna smiled up at Marcus, then back at her design. The leaf got caught up in a gust of wind that had them both squinting to avoid bits of dust in the air. When she looked back, the heart-shaped poplar leaf had bounced down the sidewalk and disappeared. The vision of its position on the ground, thankfully, was permanently etched in her sketch pad, and Marcus' suggestions of uses already had her mapping out floor plans. So what did Kurt tell you to do or expect? I was going to buy you lunch. But you've already acquired one. Yes, sorry. Not a problem. What kind of trucks are here today? I went for Jamaican over there. Then I pointed to the west side of the one-block park. But over there, there's Manny's. He's got tacos and other Mexican food, and it looks like the sandwich wrap truck is back. It's a popular place. Golden Mill Park at the edge of downtown Minneapolis was popular at lunch, between the actors from the Guthrie, the locals who had lofts, and the people like Jenna, whose office filled the few commercial buildings in the area. They usually had at least two or three trucks here or there, here at lunch and dinner. When she was lucky, a breakfast truck would park for a few hours in the morning. Do you live around here? No, but I work in that building. Marcus looked at the plain gray building, and for some reason, Jenna felt ashamed. It wasn't like she designed the damn thing. Oh, Marcus said with a tinge of disappointment. Is there something wrong? You're working today, and you've already gotten your lunch, which means you probably only have 20 minutes left before you have to head inside. Are you a cop or detective? All cops are detectives, but I've recently taken the exam. What area do you want to detect? Homicide. You know, the big time. He smiled again at Jenna and felt a warm flush. Since when could her brother pick a man for her this well? She was going to have to double down on his Christmas presents this year. I know lunch hour is a sacred time, so please, eat. I'll get something after you go back to work. Thank you. I probably would have forgotten about it until I went back upstairs again, and it would have been my then reheated afternoon snack when I got dizzy. If you're going to get dizzy, I prefer it be for a better reason. And what reason would that be? Jenna asked with a slight lilt in her voice. Marcus eyed the brown-eyed goddess in front of him. Her white skin still had a bit of tan from the summer, and her blonde hair was cut short in a bob that had her tucking a few loose strands behind her left ear. She must be adopted, because there was no way this girl was related to Kurt. Her curves outlined like a river on a map. Ebbs and flows, he could see his fingers exploring for hours. Unlike most of in the business world with the standard starched white shirt, Jenna was wearing a crimson shirt with a gray pencil skirt stopping a few inches up from her knee, and high-heeled boots that cupped her calves in the way he wished he could. The only way he could see this failing would be if she was suddenly decided to cop a few scary obsessions. But there are those types of women. Then again, if she was a bad funny, he'd be stepping away faster than she could tuck a stray hair behind her adorable little ear. Damn it. He always did this. See the adorable and miss the cray-cray. Well, his southern brain took over and he leaned a little too close. The smell of lavender and vanilla filled the air between them. I found being close to the right person at the right time can make me extremely dizzy. How's your world right now? She asked, and then bit her bottom lip, like a tilt-a-whirl. You're nothing but game, aren't you? I'm more than that. Really? Then tell me something real, officer. I don't want to pull back right now, but I'm a gentleman. Marcus sat back, crossed his legs at the knees to give Jenna personal space. What kind of real are you looking for? Why are you accepting setups from Kurt? If I go to a bar, I'll end up attracting a badge bunny. Badge bunny. What's a badge bunny? Jenna asked with a smirk. You think celebrities are the only ones with groupies? Some women, girls. Oh, he liked Jenna's smile. She was right. Women would not describe a badge bunny. True, girls get off dating a cop, and they tend to hop around. It's part of our benefits package. Is it because you know how to use handcuffs correctly? I heard they're all the rage right now. Possibly. There's a cop bar in downtown St. Paul. They crawl all over that place. If someone says you're a cop, they'll swarm like buzzards on a fresh carcass. Of all the anthologies, that's the one you use. I can feel your disdain for them. They're fun when you're in your 20s and fresh out of the academy, but at some point you want to grow up. So you're in the settle down, have a few kids, go to the Dells part of life right now. I'm not big on water parks, but the rest is what I'm looking for. And you? Why do you have Kurt dropping mysterious strangers at your feet? He thinks I need a protector. And you don't need a protector or think I need one? Think you need one. I'm still alive. Feed myself a few times a day without much hassle. Jenna took a bite of her patty. Even shower without being told. Bills paid. A knot formed in his stomach as his all-too-familiar dread made his voice crack. I have yet to be evicted and my student loans are current. Kurt didn't give you my info so you could pull up my police record, did he? Nope. He knows how much I like serial killers. You'll never catch me. I use the bones of my victims as building materials. I see you plan things out. Got to be 10 steps ahead. Thank God for all those profiling shows. Am I your normal victim? Nope. I hunt rabbits. She held her little index finger and thumb apart about an inch. Little ones that hang around the precinct. Marcus let out a small laugh, uncrossed his legs, and rested his forearms on his knees. Looking up at Jenna's perfect pink lips, curled into a smirk, he could only think one thing. There's got to be a catch.
So. Very nice.
There you go.
And how many pages is that? Because I know a lot of you are around the 60 to 80 pages. A lot of.
Yeah, mine's probably 50 or so, 40, 50. I don't. Mine was about 14,000 words, so however that breaks out.
Yeah.
So.
Does somebody have a TV on, do you think? Or?
Yeah, not sure what that.
I don't know what that is. I don't know who it's coming from. All right. Okay. All right. So you want to rest well, and then we'll have somebody you'll read.
Yeah. I'll let somebody else read.
Okay.
I can do surprise.
Okay. All right. Sable?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
I would like to read mine for you.
You can.
Mine was
okay,
a little long. My excerpt is not too long, but my book is about 52,000 words. I tend to get started.
Yeah, you have a long book. Right, you have right. Yes, you do. You do. You write long. Well, that's good.
Okay, here it is. True Love's Fire.
Okay.
Leah Houston checked the weather outside the window.
"Wow, there must be another foot of snow." She heard the water in the shower turn off and imagined him getting out and toweling off. Her mind went crazy picturing him naked. If she were braver, Leah could just see herself stripping off and parading into that bathroom and offering herself to him and having hot monkey sex up against the shower wall. Almost reluctantly, she let her hand slip down between her legs. Already damp, no surprise there, Scott was potent. Before they'd gone to bed, she had eaten him up with her eyes. The curve of every muscle, hell, even the unmistakable bulge in his jeans. She heard the door open and she stilled, stopping the stroking of her silk panties. Leah held her breath, removing her hand guiltily. Scott paused in the hall. Damn, he could smell her perfume. Just knowing she was here made him horny. With a quiet groan, he rubbed his half-erect manhood and went to get dressed. He had almost gotten off in the shower, but he was afraid she would hear. Besides, if he was going to come, he'd rather do it deep inside of Leah. All of the women he had been intimate with over the past few months were running together in his mind. They were all cookie-cutter copies of the same shallow, self-absorbed woman. Leah was a total breath of fresh air. Damn, he was aching. He slid his hand down his shorts and rubbed his swollen shaft. God, it felt good. Damn. He stopped and he sat back on the bed to get dressed. Leah listened to the squeaking of Scott's mattress. She didn't realize sound would carry so well. Was he groaning? God, she didn't need to be still and holding her moans. If he knew she was touching herself, she'd be so embarrassed. But it felt so good. But with him in the next room, yeah. She whimpered as she continued to swirl her fingers. She bit her lip and spread her legs wider, holding the afghan tight to her waist. What the hell? Scott was in the midst of buttoning his shirt when he heard the unmistakable sound of a woman in the throes of ecstasy, the sweetest sound in the entire friggin' world. Surely not. He wasn't trying to sneak up on her, but he didn't stomp either. She might not have heard him, but Elvis the dog did, and he barked, and Leah jumped, faced him with an extremely guilty look on her face. Aha, fan-damn-tastic. What you doing? Nothing. Just thinking about what we might do today. Scott smiled. Yeah, what could two people, a man and a woman, find to do while snowed in a romantic cabin in the woods? Immediately, a warm blush covered her cheeks, guilty. As he moved closer, he caught a whiff of her arousal and almost went to his knees. Within seconds, he was rock hard and ready. She looked at him, and he looked at her. I got to take a shower. Without thinking, she stood up on her sprained ankle. Fudgesicle! Careful, Peanut. He hurried to her and caught her as she swayed. She wouldn't look at him. She was too embarrassed. Thanks. Now we're even. You just saved me from falling on my ass. Clasping Leah under her knees, he picked her up and started across the room. Not hardly. God, she was a sweet armful. Need help? No, I'll be fine. Her pout was almost more than he could resist. Okay, now he had a plan. Before his winter wonderland fantasy was over, he planned on seducing and bedding one Leah Houston. Well, if you need me, just whistle. To his delight, she puckered her pink cupid bow mouth as if she were preparing to follow his advice. Catching herself, she wiggled. I won't need you, but thanks. To her relief, Scott winked, shut the door, and left her alone. Whew, she let out a long breath. God, he was magnetic. But she had to remember one important thing. Leah felt she could satisfy. She felt that she would knew that she wasn't the type of woman who could attract a woman like Scott. Right now, he was flirting with her for one very important reason. She was just the only one around. Leah, he spoke from behind the door. She jumped. Yeah? Here's one of my shirts to wear. She smiled, and he sounded as if he were trying to tempt her. Thank you. She opened the door and grabbed it. I'll be waiting. Lord help me, she fanned herself. Holding on to the vanity in the wall, she managed to undress and get in the shower. Even though her passion was still simmering, Leah took no chances. When she finished, she looked at her unremarkable face and wished she were devastatingly beautiful. She didn't have a bit of makeup on, nor did she have any. If she had, she probably wouldn't wear it. So sighing, she hung up the rag to dry and decided to go face the music. Just about that time, she opened the door and everything went dark. Houston, Scott yelled. Houston, we have a problem. Leah laughed. She couldn't believe he had said that. Shades of Apollo 13. Okay, two could play this game. It's dark. I can't find you. Beam me up, Scotty. From the kitchen, she heard his laughter. Stay there. I'm coming. She groaned. You're coming? Ha, not yet, but I plan to later, if you'll let me. Okay, that's all I have.
Well, you know what? You could, you know, you really, you know, it's very interesting, you know, I didn't think anybody would talk faster than me. I think you do, and you read so well when you're talking fast. It's unbelievable.
I get excited.
Well, it's like, it's almost like you're reading a script, you know, because I do scripts, you know, and it's almost like you're reading a script, and that's how your conversation flows like that. It's very interesting to listen to you when you do that. I always think of, like, for movies, for scripts, you know, because sometimes we did that on the show, but you have to be able to be speaking that fast. That's great. Fast and good. That's right. All right. Let's see who's next. Who wants to go next?
Graylin? This is Randy. Yeah. I'm happy to
Randy,
do one.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
Yeah. I've got a short excerpt from Redneck Romeo. Well, Jenny pushed back her chair. We're all caught up. She looked outside. And I have a long drive back. Nick reached out and took her hand, pulling her sideways onto his lap. It was just an impulse, but it felt so right. We're not all caught up yet. He threaded his fingers into her hair and tipped her head just right. I've wanted to do this since the moment I saw you today. She melted against Nick's hard chest, and her heart thudded behind her ribs. It had always been like this. Every time they touched, heat swirled and pooled. Body parts tingled and throbbed or swelled and became slick. Now she knew what it was, what it could lead to, and how to reach out and take happiness when it fell in her lap or pulled her onto its lap. His hand in her hair gently tipped her head up to his kiss. Oh, God, the kiss, just like all those years ago, but more intoxicating, more promising. His firm lips brushed against hers. His tongue barely touched her before she opened him, her tongue meeting his in an exquisite reunion. He shifted his hips. His arm across her lower back held her as he bent her slightly, taking the kiss to a higher level of intensity. He tasted her, every crevice of her mouth tangling their tongues, sucking hers into his mouth. Breathless, she hauled in air as her belly heated with desire, and between her legs, she felt the slick warmth of her own juices escaping. He gave her room to breathe, trailing his kisses across her cheek to her ear. You are my first, he whispered into her ear. They hadn't had sex. Was he mistaking her for some other girl? First? Her word was barely audible. First kiss. He nipped her earlobe, tasted the sensitive skin just below it. Then he drew back and looked into her eyes. First love. His pupils dilated, darkening his eyes. Against her thigh, his hard shaft felt hot, even through layers of clothes. He seemed to be waiting for her, waiting until she made a decision. Genevieve wanted this man, now, even if it was just once, a final chapter to the sweet love story they'd begun years ago. Nick, she stood, urging him to his feet next to her. Fisting her hand in the shoulders of his T-shirt, she tugged it up and off of him. That's it.
Wow. It's so interesting how everybody reads so differently. It's so it really is. I like to listen to, you know, do you remember, Cassandra, when we did Red River, that a lot of times people read, and then, you know, mm-hmm. I know when I did the first time, I was like a wreck when I read. And then that's, you know, shortly after I got a show after that. But it's not that easy to be able to read, you know, on a show sometimes, you know, and it seems like everybody's doing so well, you know, because do you remember, I mean, well, you did you read on any of the shows when you would?
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah. And then when you're trying to encourage others to read and just, you know, bringing about what their artistic piece is very personal. So sometimes
yeah.
it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, I think it is, and it's very interesting. And, you know, like when I think when I did mine, which was 4 years ago, but it was like I was editing it while I was, because that was 4 years ago. You know, it's lots changed since then, you know, but it's like I was editing out things thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't say this because maybe we can't say this on the radio, maybe we shouldn't do this. And, you know, it is a big difference now within the 4 years that how everything changed. And, of course,
oh, yeah.
the show,
absolutely.
We're so, well, naturally, the two of us are really, really open. So, you know, because I think, you know,
yes,
I would be scaring everybody, I think. I know. I know. But, you know, I'll just change, you know, but it was different then. So it's, I always like that. So now, you know, we've been doing this lately on the shows because I think that, I think this is really a good way where people can say, like, oh, you know, I really like the style of how that person writes. And that's, you know, when they could be interested in buying their books. rather than just hearing, you know, because everybody's talking, but they don't really know what the book is about or how it sounds. So I think this is such a, you know, a good crowd to do this with, because I think it's, you know, important to hear what everybody, how they read it. It's very interesting. Anybody have anything
to
add? Yeah. Okay, let's see who, all right. Graylin, do you want?
Sure.
Okay.
Mine is Tastes Like Chocolate.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I'm not being euphemistic.
Okay.
Don't worry
okay.
about X. Her relationship is with that statue. My ex-fiancé's voice trailed off as he and his latest mark left my store. Taking a deep breath, the twinge of pain at his betrayal nipped at my heart. Less than before, now it bubbled, surrounded by relief. At least my Adonis statue didn't sleep with all but one of my friends. Angie cursed behind me. Vivi, I still can shoot him for you. Just because you used years of sculpting education and experience to etch the most perfect body ever doesn't mean your pudgy ex has to take it personally. She laughed while pacing with anger. I checked myself in the mirror. I'd pulled my shoulder-length brown hair back in a sloppy ponytail and flipped my size 14 body into baggy jeans and a smock. The streaks of chocolate on my clothes made me look dirty. I didn't care much. I'd long grown used to the strange looks. I'm large in the Midwest. In South Florida, I'm a whale in need of a good strip mall doctor visit. Moving here after my 30th birthday meant I decided who I was, liked her, and wasn't going to change to fit the surroundings. That doesn't mean I didn't have days where I envied the women on the beach, the ones whose boobs and ass didn't care how powerful gravity was. They always pointed to the sky. I did make him perfect. I'd gotten an A in penises during anatomy class. Everywhere, Angie licked her lips while looking at his crotch. For him, I'd give a blowjob a week. Her husband was limited to 4 a year, his birthday, New Year's Eve, their anniversary, and one random day of his choice. She stroked the statue's perfect ass. I would even leave George for a Greek god. I doubted it. Angie and George met in high school. We got stuck in the most boring history class ever. The three of us sat in the back trying to stay awake. It was the 90s. Life was different. We wore gobs of eyeshadow, hairspray that could protect you from head injury, and music that made white people think they could dance, me included. Adonis was the god of life, death, and rebirth. I needed a do-over, so I made him. At 34 years old, I was single again. My fiancé, Rick, slept with the entire wedding party in a week and then kept coming around to rub his latest conquest in my face. Yeah. At the second to the last fitting for my dress, one of my bridesmaids, still drunk from the night before, blurted out my fiancé hated the pictures of my dress that she'd shown him. I wished I'd had laser for eyes. They would have bounced off the mirrors, striking her dead where she wobbled. The silence in the room shattered when a dress fitter, a friend of mine, yelled, "You fucking bitch," while throwing sewing needles at her. The rest of the day became a blur. I called him. He didn't deny it. Angie took care of the rest. She even intercepted wedding gifts, sending them back without my knowledge. My great aunt told me when hers arrived, with groom screwed to bridesmaids, "Thank you for your generosity," written across in red pen. That was a month ago, a week before the life-size chocolate block showed up. The client wanted one thing. Please sculpt the man. He needs to be well endowed with chiseled abs and a nice axe. That was it. The block was delivered frozen, and I had to sculpt it that way to keep him from melting. I had a refrigerated area in the back installed years ago, and I must have eaten a good 2 to 3 pounds of shaving. My bonus for the work. Angie's breathing filled the room. She stood in front of him, licking her lips. okay, you have to go before you bite it off. You have to taste it. One lick, so you can say you did it. You can fix it later. Her words lingered in the air as she left. The gallery door jingled open, and voices drifted back to me. Focusing on the work, I couldn't pull my eyes off of the body in front of me. I'd given him short hair with a slight swoosh in the front. Clipped brows framed his large eyes. I needed to work on his cheeks. No man had angled cheekbones. They only existed in romance novels. The one on my nightstand had sex scenes I didn't think were humanly possible. My imagination got away with me. Running my hands over his face, I could almost feel warmth under there. A quick intake of breath told me I wasn't alone. I've seen that look before, Angie's voice carried a tinge of laughter. Okay, I'm tempted. Who wouldn't be? The hair stood up on the back of my neck like I'd been caught masturbating by my mother. The harsh defensiveness audible in my tone, softly I asked, who is at the door? Someone delivering another note, she handed me an envelope. There was gold dust inside with a card. Sprinkle this on your sculpture. Make sure to cover every body part. Then the magic will begin, I read aloud. It doesn't say when it will be picked up or if you'll be paid. Remember, if a sculpture is left in your shop for more than a week unclaimed, it becomes the property of Viviana's Sculpture and Home Decor, she stated the store policy beautifully stenciled on the front windows. It would take up half of my cold room. I noticed a few places he needed touching up as I inspected his calf. Grabbing my shapers, I started to accentuate his musculature. The man was going to be a dream. I thought of every bodybuilder I'd photographed as I gave him the form it took them years to perfect. Lost in my work, I barely acknowledged Angie as she headed home to her husband and kids. Adonis was beautiful, everything my ex wasn't, physically. I knew every curve. At night alone, he was the fantasy keeping me company. I lived on the second floor. Upstairs, after my shower, I swear I could smell hot chocolate. It said dreams where Adonis comes to life, pledges his undying love to me, and then makes love to me for hours. Okay.
Okay.
Ooh.
Now what? No, now what? Well, it takes chocolate to a new level, you think? It's a good thing. That sounds good.
Very nice.
Yeah, you know, chocolate, you know, really, you know, it's very interesting because my character, Virginia Templeton, she likes Angel cologne. I love Angel. And, you know, Angel cologne is chocolate and vanilla. It's not, and that's what makes people like the Angel cologne. It smells like chocolate, I guess, you know, because people come up to you, you know, and they, you know, and, but, you know, it's really hear that sometimes, but chocolate brings so much to, even when you're talking about it. You know, you just smell the chocolate.
Oh, yeah, and I have Randy to thank for the fact that I'm now doing 6 of these this year because I have
really?
A lot of flavors I want to go through.
Well, like it's magic, right? It's magic. You know, you can. This is a, like good for fantasy. It's like make who you want instead of who you get. You know, you can just really get what you exactly feel like and sprinkle it.
Yeah, I have one. Yeah. The next one will be out for St. Patrick's Day, and it's called Irish Cream Dreams.
Okay, so that's, you know, like you were just talking about, Cassandra, that's like a something a little different, do you know what I mean, to spark up people's minds.
Oh, definitely. And
yes.
I think when you do something fun and creative like that, it makes everybody go, oof, it's something a little different.
Yeah, which is very difficult to do. You know, and that's very interesting. And that's good. All right, now we have two. Who we have left? We have Ty, right? And
yep.
And Christian's okay. And Jody's.
Jody. Okay.
Well, do you want to do one? Do you want to do one, and then I'll Randy, and then I'll do Ty, so that way you have a break.
Oh, okay. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Yep.
Is this like
right.
We get like a coffee break?
Yeah, coffee break.
Okay.
Okay. This is from Falling for Cupid by Kristen Lavelle. This situation was anything but normal. I loved Brad, not passionately, yet I would still mourn the loss of him as a husband, only because I was lonely, though. The more time he spent with Lisa, the more I realized he was practically my only friend. There he is. Brad forced his way between Lisa and me and pointed to a table in the corner. It was still in the open, yet alluded to privacy as much as one could get in public. My gaze stumbled as a pair of crystal, not quite clear, yet not quite blue eyes met mine. Butterflies fluttered in my belly. It felt like fairy dust was tickling my flesh. He literally stopped me in my tracks. Dark brown hair touched his brow, and my finger itched to push it back. I couldn't seem to break away. There was something in his depths that held me in place, that revved my engine and warmed me to the toes. That had me helplessly melting into a puddle right where I stood. I don't know how long I stood there, looking like an idiot, I'm sure, before Brad interrupted. "Earth to Daisy." I blinked in rapid succession as his hand passed in front of my face. I cut my eyes at him and smacked his hand away. He laughed easily. "Oh, come on. I'm hotter than him, and you've never gone goo-goo for me." I scrunched my nose. "That's because I know you." "Well, damn. Way to set my heart aflame." I shrugged my shoulders. "More like your ego, but I'm sure Lisa will pour water on it." I winked back at him as I strolled up to the counter and ordered a cappuccino. They followed behind me, each ordering something different. For the record, I wouldn't put it out. He's gorgeous, but he's not God. Her cheeks colored as Brad scowled at her. The three of us walked over to where my version of a gorgeous God was. He stood to greet us. His suit wasn't high-end or low-end, but it had been tailored to him. It showed off his fit figure. My jaw slackened as the outline of his bicep muscle showed when he shook Brad's hand. Sweet cherry pie, I couldn't stop myself from picturing those biceps near my head as he pummeled me into submission. "Get it together, girl." "Hi, Mr. Valentine. I'm Brad. This is my wife, Daisy." He jutted his chin toward me. "And this is my girlfriend, Lisa." His brows rose slightly, but he maintained a professional disposition surprisingly well. "It's a pleasure to meet you all." He shook Lisa's hand, then mine, all too quickly, before gesturing to the chairs. Luckily, three remaining at the small square table. "Please take a seat, and we can discuss your case." His gaze skittered to me as we sat. I barely contained my sigh of longing. There was something about the lawyer that had me lusting like a starved feline. This was a man I wanted to drizzle chocolate over before tasting every delicious inch of him. Sadly, though, I didn't see the same spark in his eyes. Figures. And that's the end.
Yeah, figures. Figures, yeah. And you know, in Kristen, I know she can't say this, but I think that she said something that we probably all do. It says she goes to work in her pajamas a lot. Notice that,
yeah.
She said. Because really, we're all up at the weirdest hours, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm not on Facebook as much as I was like later at night, but I you do see people sometimes, you know, and you know they got to get up in the morning with their kids and whatever, but we're all up at weird hours. So it's, you know, we're all wearing pajamas or something. All right. Cassandra, you're up, and you get up early too, right?
I get up what?
You get up early.
Get up early? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, 4:45 in the morning. So,
wow.
Yes, early.
It is early. And you're up.
Mm-hmm.
And do you write at night?
Yes. Well, I'm lucky enough, I get to write a little bit in the mornings, a little bit at lunch, and, yeah, I mostly write at night. As soon as I get home at 6:30 plus past, I sit and write.
Does that write at night or during the day, in the morning? Sable, when do you write?
I work all day. I get up at 7, and I work till about 1:00 at night. But I'm not only just writing; I'm doing the editing too. But I write about 4 hours a day.
Yeah. And do you always keep everything you write, or do you sometimes I don't like what I wrote, today, and then you just move on?
I save it and come back to it later. I don't try not to throw anything away. I usually can salvage part of it if I really try.
Yeah, that's true. You can just go over it. Graylin, what about, are you late at night? Or? a morning person?
Yeah. Yes, I'm right here.
Are you up in the morning writing or at night or all day times of the day?
Actually, I've got a very strange way of doing it. I'm a psychologist. I write between clients.
Uh-oh.
Because it's like,
I like
something
it.
Will trigger it. And I have 10 minutes to write the notes and get words in. And I'm always rushed, but by the end of the day, I usually have about 2,000 words.
That's great.
I may have to cut everything together by the end of the week, but, yeah, it's frantic, but I love it.
You'd love it. You'd do it right then. All right. So, like, do we not want to be a patient because maybe you'll just add them in?
No, I had clients who knew that I wrote, and I did have one woman come running into me one day and said, okay, you need to get out a notepad or a recorder because you need to put this in your next book.
Okay, at least I know that. We all do that, you know, because, you know, we all get ideas from other people's lives. You know, that's how we all write. It doesn't, you know, it comes from somewhere, I guess. I think it comes from everything. I talk to almost everybody I meet, so that's where I get everything. Because my husband isn't always thrilled sometimes I'm talking to everybody when we're out, because now every restaurant where people, like, sit down with us, the hosts sit down, the waiters, sit down, the servers, they're all. But I think you get so much information from talking to people. I mean, for me, I do, you know. But,
sure.
Anyway, like, yeah. All right, so, Michelle, when do you work? You work during the day, so did you write at night?
Yeah, if I get time. Luckily, my son's right now in basketball, so I usually get, like, an hour after I get done working before I have to go get him. So it's kind of I gotta lock myself away and, you know, just let it, you know, leave a note, tell them I haven't died, but I'm not available.
It's hard to get the time in, you know, and to be able to just sit down and go, like, okay, this is it. But we have that, and that's why, you know, I write sometimes in longhand and then I put it on the computer because I'm thinking of something and I think of something else. But for me, I've done that a lot of years. But then when I get to the computer, I write it completely different. Everybody has their own little technique. Okay, all right, so now who are we going to hear? Let's see. We have...
It was Michelle. I'm going to read Ty. Ty's book, The Vet.
And if anybody in the chat room has a question, just let us know and we'll ask it because we can see what, you know, if anybody wants to ask anybody any questions. And we won't know your name because it's okay. You can ask anonymously because I can see the numbers, but we don't know who they are. Okay. All right. Jody's you're reading? You're reading Jody's or?
No, I'm reading Ty Ling.
Okay, fine, good. Okay.
The bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
The bet, okay.
The long-time couple writhed with passion through their satin sheets. While Chris Knight's soft hand journeyed their way towards a small Gabrielle Trent's back, she groaned with pleasure at the feel of his touch against her dampened skin. The love of his life gave in to the inevitable as she turned herself toward him, locking her blue eyes onto his. On the brink, the descent began. His steel gray eyes never wavered from their hungered gaze, while he mouthed the words, "I love you." His hand parted on her toned thighs. Chris's swollen cock ached for her. "Oh, my God, Chris," she moaned. His members strained with desire at her entrance. It was something he could no longer contain. In one swift move, he planted himself deep inside her. The couple rocked in unison. The closeness the two shared was the one thing they cherished most about their relationship. With each day that passed, Chris found himself more in love with his girlfriend. Their passions consumed them, sending the two of them into a violent climax. Desire gave way to exhaustion. Exhaustion gave way to bliss. Several minutes later, Chris took himself out of her and fell into a sweaty heap. As he raked his shoulder-length brown hair from his face, he glanced at his girlfriend with a mischievous grin. "Whew, Gaddy, that was..." She playfully smacked him on his shoulder. "Oh, my God, Chris. That was not supposed to happen." Chris laughed aloud and winked at her. "Baby, why not? We're committed now, aren't we? What else are we supposed to do when we fight?" Gabrielle looked at her guy and continued to laugh. The unapologetic smirk he had on his face was enough to make her want to slap him. "I'm still pissed at you," she quipped. Turning himself to face her, he continued to laugh loudly. Over what? Why are you so mad at that? Please, you know why, Chris. Gabby, my fans are part of what fuels my living. Gabrielle sighed as she pushed back her long blonde curls. With her plump breasts fully exposed, she leaned against the bedpost. I know. To be honest, it's not them. However, I do wonder if you have to go as far with some of them as you do. I swear you enjoy the attention they give you. Smoothing out the end of her curls, he attempted to reassure her that the flirtations were part of his performance. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm not going to lie. It's flattering. Do you like attention, babe? Chris asked her. For my stories, sure. Okay, then. You're getting acclaim for writing about other rockers by readers or by your peers is no different from me flirting and singing to a young fan. It's a job. The band and I have been blessed with tremendous opportunity with Knight's Armor, and that I wouldn't change for the world. Gabby looked down at her slender fingers as they continued to play with the ends of her curls. With his index finger, he lifted her chin toward him before he continued. Who's here with you now, Gabby? You are. I get it. Just try not to enjoy it so much. Okay? She told him with a smirk. I'm always going to be here for you. You and I have been through so much that I don't understand why you'd question that after all this time. I love everything about you, from the way you snore to how my name sounds when it rolls off your tongue. You write for Rockline magazine, for crying out loud. There isn't anyone that knows more than you do about that I'm doing. Sorry, I got it. Okay. Well, why did I go into the next page? Oh, that was the bottom. Let's see. That's what I thought. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going back. Ty is going to kill
me.
Listen,
right, that's
sorry.
Right. There's no passing grade here. We're not going to give grades.
Oh, I hope not. I made it good. Okay. My job. I will say, I did think it was fun seeing you squirm a bit while I was flirting earlier, he retorted with an impish grin. She smiled. Asshole. You're at home with me. There isn't anyone else I want. Nope, she asked. Nope, Chris said. Gabrielle chuckled as her fingers began to play with his 5 o'clock shadow. Okay, rock star. Round one was yours. That round? Baby, between them and us, I will win the fucking war, Chris told her. Curious, Gabrielle put her hand down. She raised her eyebrows in interest over Chris's words. Yeah? How are you going to do that? Deep in thought, Chris pursed his lips. Gabrielle had no idea what he was thinking. Moments later, her boyfriend's trademark grin spanned from ear to ear. I'll bet that I can seduce you. That's the end of her.
Well, you know,
so
I was
sorry,
reading, you know,
Ty.
All of you have a lot of good reviews on a lot of the books. You know, and on Ty's book, I noticed that some of the reviewers were saying they liked the fact that the two had a relationship and they were trying to work it out. So I think, you know, mm-hmm. So sometimes people, you know, say that they don't like when people start together, but it's very interesting that people were liking the fact that they started out together and they worked through their whatever, they're working through their problems until, you know, there's a
problem. Well, I probably should have done something like that because it's really hard for me in a short span to write a love story where they're going to get together without having them have a pit history. It's harder, I think, and I probably should have done that.
Well, right, when you do a short story, right, Sable, you write most of yours long, okay? And
yes.
So I guess that's why, because, you know, sometimes you feel like you need more time, you know. And Cassandra, you write a lot of short stories, though, too, right?
Well, I've read all over the place. I mean, everything from 5,000
right.
to 150,000. So,
right. So, I mean,
it's hard
so,
to put me in a category.
Right. But because so many people all the time always talk about short stories, you know. And the only thing that I just thought about, which is that you have to have a certain amount, which I don't think the people. That's why I think maybe I should mention this, because a lot. Might not have known this. I didn't really realize this, and I've had a lot of guests on. We never really talked about the amount of words and some of the, like, Sable. Do you want to just say for a second what which sites they can't get on because they have a shorter book?
Well, I know that if you want to promote on, like, the big sites, the BookBub, they don't really want anything less than 50,000 words. It's hard to get accepted with a novella or a short story. And those are the sites you pay to be on. And some of the others have word limitations also. And so that is a factor a little bit in when I'm dealing with authors or myself, especially if it's the first book in a series and I want to promote it. Sometimes you have to take that in consideration.
Yeah, because nobody's talked about that. And so anybody, you know, I mean, because this was my first short story that I did in Virginia, and then I did a series of three, so I made it into a novella. But I think there's probably a lot of people out there that maybe want to start with a short story, but then they do have to increase it a lot of times to get in a different, you know, if they want to do in some of the sites where you have to have that amount of, you know, words. Because even when I did books before, or I do screenplays, so when you do screenplays a lot, you don't go by words. So, you know, in this field, definitely everybody goes by words, you know. So it's a whole different way.
As far as what people are interested in. I mean, the problem is, you go on certain sites like ARE and they want to download short books so they can, you know, for 99 cents, they can read at lunch or they can read after work, and they don't want to put a lot of effort into reading a major novel where, you know, 100,000 words is just way too far out there,
right,
and then
right.
you go somewhere else and that's what they want. So it's
right.
there's a place for everybody out there.
Right, I think there is, but I think sometimes, right, and I do think that is true, but a lot of times when you're starting to write, you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to write romance, and so they don't really know a lot of things, so sometimes, you know, certain tips, like if they look at certain books to how to do romance, because there are certain things that help and, you know, that they need to maybe study up on a little, because sometimes you know a lot of things. That's why a lot of these shows are very good, the blog talk shows of my and other authors and or people that are doing shows on writing, because, you know, it shows people that they can do it too. Be
sure.
afraid, you know, and so I think that, you know, people out there, not just a dream, because everybody starts somewhere. So you just have to do it. You know, you can't say it, you just got to do it. So that, but I think little...
This is Randy. I have quite a few people who contact me and say, I've been writing for a few months and I just, you know, could you look at my work and tell me, you know, what I need to do? And I'll say, sure. You know, they'll send me a few chapters and I'll read and I'll pinpoint the things that they need to learn more about. And then I'll give them suggestions for books to read. Like,
that's nice.
You know, if it's dialogue they need help with or characterization or head hopping or just plotting in general. And there's a lot of books out there. There are a lot of very inexpensive classes that you can take online too. So
for people listening, right.
People.
And right, that's true, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, they don't really know. Like sometimes myself, you know, when I see something online, it's like 99 cents and it's how to do characters or whatever. It's 99 cents. Just get it so you can just listen to another point of view, because it doesn't matter how many of those books you read, every one there'll be something that you can take out of it, you know,
yeah,
which is
definitely.
Why when everybody's reading today, everybody can take out, you know, a lot of times people don't hear each other's writing, and a lot of times you write a certain way, and you can learn by listening to other people too, but I think it doesn't just come out of you. You know, we all know it doesn't just 1, 2, 3 sit down and it's all there. You know, it's hard.
It would be nice if it was, but
yes,
And I think the urge to write and the compulsion to write is built into some of us. Most of us who are writing full time like we do, but we just need to hone and polish our craft a little bit so that we're writing in a way that you know, people will see that it's flowing easily and have an easy time reading our works.
Yeah, it's the flow. It matters, you know. And, you know, I myself have done stories where I go like 9 pages in. I've written maybe 50, let's say, and the first 9 pages I go, this is not working, goodbye, and I get rid of it, you know, mm-hmm. which I think we've all done that, you know, at a time, because some things just don't work, you know. And does everybody work with an outline or?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
Almost never.
Yeah.
I do.
You do? Mm-hmm. A full one? Well, actually, I think it was yours that I read that you have. I think it was maybe Desiree that wrote that she has like 40 sketched out in her mind, you know, and then she wrote them out, like a little outline, which maybe isn't a bad idea. Like, do you write the whole outline when you're doing it, or do you just write notes?
If I'm doing a longer book, like over 200 pages, I'll do a real full outline. But if I'm doing a short story that's, you know, 30, 40 pages, I'll just write a few sentences down. And as they come into my mind, I'll write them down. But for longer books, it just seems it's easier for me to plot them out so that I don't lose track of the goal and the ultimate, the thread of the plot as it's going through. I want to keep track of everything that way. So it just depends on how long the book is.
And Crystal Lovell posted in our little group that she hates outlines. So
she hates outlining.
I'm speaking for Kristen. This is Michelle.
I'm not
a big outliner, but I did have to with one of my series. I had to make a timeline because it went over 4 books and it went over 10 years. So I had to make an outline to make sure that I hit everything correctly. But I don't do outlines. I've done timelines, but I know in more than one of my stories that the characters decide to go left when I was going right, and it went a whole other place, but I'm happy with where they went. They took it. So if I would have followed an outline, I wouldn't have been where I got to.
Yeah, because like a lot of us know that the characters take over. Sable, outline? No outline?
Yes, I do. I outline a basic outline. It may change as I go through there, but when I first begin, I decide, you know, what my main conflicts are, and then I even decide, you know, how many sex scenes I'm going to have, what positions they're going to be in. I found what my funny things are going to be.
You get the positions.
So, you know, I got a little goal here. Know which late night Cinemax shows I need to watch to get inspired.
Graylin, do you write with an outline?
It's kind of hard to follow, Sable, isn't it? By the way,
every one of you here is unique. No, it's not. It's okay.
Yeah. Sable, honey, as somebody who grew up in the South, you have to have this accent to say hot monkey sex on the radio.
That's right.
It doesn't matter, though. In Chicago, it's a different way. You talk differently. Yeah, it's true. I think it is. I want to be one of those rodeo girls. I think there's something on TV that's a rodeo girl because I saw that on TV.
I noticed
that everybody writes with rodeo. I'm thinking, this is a good idea. I'd like to be doing a rodeo.
For longer books, I kind of do the drunk cones in the middle of the road. There's one row on one side, there's one row on the other, and basically I pants what I would like to see, and then I try to hit it by the time I get to the end. And then sometimes I go back into the second revision and go, I missed a couple of cones on the way. But for short things, I just fly by the seat of my pants. It just it comes out of me, and it just does, and then I go back in the second time through and basically put the flesh on the skeleton that I created.
It's good that you could do it. Because I've been giving people advice for years on how to do things. And then I sometimes say to myself, all right, now if I was giving advice, what would I do? And so I try to do it because I don't give advice a lot of times. And I know the right way that I think it should be done, but then I just am not perfect at that. this probably goes back to school and rules, which is why my show is what it is. But I think that some people can follow, and I like that idea about the cones. That's an interesting thing. I like that, the way you put that, the cones and the,
weaving in and
out
of them as I go.
I know. All right, I think we have one more left to read, but Jody's?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
This is from Sweet Sizzle by Jody Redford. Rory stepped through the doorway and resisted the urge to do an about-face when she spotted Bennett standing in the middle of the room, looking devastatingly gorgeous in a navy sports coat and khakis. Pulse thumping in double time, she took in the bouquet of roses and the suspicious heart-shaped box he held. "What do you think you're doing?" She wasn't entirely surprised at him showing up. She knew damn well how persistent Ben could be when he wanted something bad enough. Too bad he hadn't wanted her that much 10 years ago. He wouldn't have to resort to overpriced flowers and chocolate. I couldn't let it end like that between us, Ro. I'm not giving up on you so easily. You're wasting your time. Wrong. When it comes to you, there's no such thing. I'll wait forever for you if that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. An undesired sting prickled at her eyelids. Damn it, she wouldn't cry. It didn't matter if the tears were ones of anger and frustration. She'd shed every kind of imaginable over Ben. No more. He closed the distance between them. A familiar sweet essence drifted to her nose, and she dropped her focus to the cellophane-wrapped flowers. Tucked amongst the red roses were dainty cotton candy pink freesia. She blinked, her vision blurring. The lump in her throat was almost worse than the threat of tears. Crying was a form of release, at least. This heaviness paralyzing her vocal cords was a mute bully gleefully suffocating her with her own emotions. So he'd remembered about the freesia. It meant nothing, and it sure as hell didn't make up for the endless hurt he'd put her through. She jerked her gaze back to his. I want you to leave, Ben. There's nothing here for you anymore. He shook his head. You're here. I was speaking metaphorically, and besides, technically, I'm not going to be around much longer anyway. I was about to close up shop before you came in. It doesn't smell like it to me. Damn those butterscotch scones for ratting her out. This is a bakery. It always smells like that. Nope. There's something in the oven. I'll stake $20 on it. You don't know what you're talking about. He cocked an eyebrow in challenge. Don't suppose you'd mind me going and checking it out firsthand, then, would ya? Before she could respond, he sidled past her and strode into the kitchen. Closing her eyes, she sucked in a steadying breath and counted to 10. By 8, it was pretty freaking clear her patience had decided to skip out for the night. Grinding her molar, she followed after Bennett. She found him hunched in front of the oven, door wide open while he appreciatively whiffed at the scones inside. Damn it, shut the door. He did as directed, his teeth a bright flash of white highlighting his obnoxious grin. Looks like someone owes me $20. I never said I'd take your bet, smartass. He rose to his feet and settled the flowers and chocolate on the prep station. Admit it, Ro. You had no intention of seeing someone else tonight. No, I did. I mean, I do. Once those scones are finished, I'm going to meet my date for dinner. Praying Ben would buy that load of bull, she crossed her fingers behind her back. Uh-huh. He took a step closer, forcing her to angle her head back enough to meet his gaze full on. I guarantee ya he'd be a waste of your time. Because no way in hell he feels a fraction of what I do for you. The persuasion in his whiskey baritone, combined with the softness in his eyes, provided a double whammy in the battle against her defenses. He was giving her no choice but to play dirty. Gripping the edge of the work table behind her, she steeled herself and blurted out the biggest lie she'd ever uttered. I feel nothing for you, Ben. Now please leave. Rather than slink out of the kitchen like she'd vainly hoped he would, Ben leaned closer, boxing her in against the table. You were never good at lying, Ro. Even if I didn't have proof from your response to me earlier when I kissed the daylights out of you at the station, there's still the small fact that your pretty nipples are waving a salute at me right now. She didn't need to look down to verify he was telling the truth. The traitorous offenders had pebbled into hard peaks the moment he'd invaded her personal space. Every breath she dragged in came with the excruciating side effect of rubbing the lace of her bra against her sensitized flesh. It doesn't mean anything. No. He slid his hands around her waist and coasted them upward until he came to her breasts. Stalling there, he lazily glazed his knuckles back and forth, following the underside of her bra. I'll make you a deal. Allow me one kiss. If you still think it means nothing, I'll leave. For good. Oh, God, what hope did she have of pretending he'd left her unaffected if she went along with this? She probably had better odds of hitting the lottery and getting struck by lightning, simultaneously. But what choice did she have? It was either agree to his insane proposal or spend the rest of the night arguing with him. Just one kiss. Surely she had enough willpower to not get carried away. The butterflies in her stomach laughing uproariously at that delusional statement, she acquiesced with a resigned nod. I have your word. You'll leave when I win this bet. The confident set of his jaw spoke volumes regarding his faith in being the victor in this round. Absolutely. Fine. Then give it your best shot, Casanova. Oh, Lord, why did she tack on that provocation? She might as well wave a red flag at a bull and charge the beast head-on. Ben's nostrils flared, adding to the overall impression. Half certain he was about to paw the floor with his wingtips, she waited for the inevitable pounce. He surprised her by moving in slowly, his hands roving outward along the swells of her breasts. He inched infinitesimally closer, his mouth a hair's breadth away from hers. She stared into his eyes, her heart drumming. Time stretched into an eternity. The intimacy of their almost kiss straddled the line of unbearable. He was teasing her, making her long for that first taste. She licked her lips and watched the responding flare of heat in his irises. But still, the tormenting son of a bitch refused to make the next move. Growling under her breath, she gripped the lapels of his jacket. Kiss me, damn it! His mouth crooked into a half smile. Thought you'd never ask. Slipping his arms around her, he cradled the back of her head and closed the scant distance separating their lips. The kiss mirrored his leisurely approach to initiating it in the first place, igniting with a slow burn that steadily built into a consuming flame. He tunneled his fingers through her hair, his lips coaxing. She submitted with a shuddery moan and wrapped her arms around his middle, her legs suddenly too wobbly to hold her upright. Ever the gentleman, he scooped her up by the butt and planted her on the edge of the work table, all the while never ceasing his kisses. Hooking her legs around his waist, he sent a sliding kiss along the slope of her neck, unerringly locating the sweet spot beneath her ear that always did her in. She gasped, arching against him. He gently tugged on her hair, exposing more of her neck for his feasting. Shivers of pleasure chased after his descending mouth. His teeth scraped and nipped, prodding a whimper to escape her. He chuckled, the dark, smoky sound like velvet over her flushed skin. Bastard knew she was at his mercy. Well, if she was going down hard, she was damn well going to take him along with her.
Oh, it's very interesting. It's so interesting to hear these stories. Anyway, this has really been very entertaining. And does anybody have anything left to say? I just want to give an announcement that Cassandra, do you have a show Sunday?
I do not have a show this Sunday. It'll be the next Sunday.
Okay. All right. And your show is at 2:00 Eastern.
It is 2:00 Eastern Standard Time, and we have a lot of guests lined up, so it'll be kind of fun over the next few weeks.
Yeah, there's so much going on. And Fran has a show on Thursday. Fran Lewis has a show on Thursday at 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern. And I have a show next week, which is a horror show with Elizabeth Black. We'll be doing it in the afternoon. And let's see if we're forgetting anything. But and the good news is that you'll all be able to read my Virginia Templeton series. I'm going with Boku. Sable is getting it ready, and we've got a great cover on it, and it's going to be new and improved. So, someday I may be reading my own. Not probably on my show, though. Not on my show. But, you know, and Cassandra, anything new going on that we should talk about, or we have everything? I think we got everything today.
Yeah, I think we got everything. I mean, there's always something new going on.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, you never know.
Right. Right. All right. It's been great having you. And so are you ladies going to be going to other places, or what are you going to be doing? Because Valentine's Day will be over, but you're still going to promote it, or you're just going to work on now for your July?
This is Michelle. We have one more blog talk radio show, Babs. I believe we're on Babs. And then, we'll keep promoting it and letting
which
it
show is that? Which, what show is that?
Babs, Easter. No, I didn't. It wasn't one I It's a new one for me, which is always good. I like
Babs?
New radio host. Babs, E-A-B-S. And then, yeah, I mean, we're not going to stop promoting it, and hopefully people that like the Red Hot will
just
go
continue.
Ahead and,
right, because you've got
to continue.
And before you know it, hopefully soon, because I'm in Chicago, hopefully we'll be getting July soon, because this is way, you know, I know, Cassandra, do you have a storm coming on? Probably you do, right?
Yes, we do. It's coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think 12 inches or so for us. That's huge here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, we just had that the other day. Well, we had 6, 7, 8, I don't know. Just every weekend it's the same, and then it's below zero. It's like 25 below. So, I'm waiting for July will be sounding good. Here we're all crazy already. Everybody's sick of it. So, so we'll see next, Thursday. And then, everybody, thank you so much for coming on. And I will be having Kristen and Ty, and if any of the other girls want to come on, that's fine with me. If they, it doesn't matter if it's Valentine's Day or not. We can still have them. I'm fine with it. And because everybody's got other things. And so, Graylin, anything? Anybody want to say anything before we go? Okay, you can find
our websites.
You're all on. Yes, I think that would be. If everybody wants to do that, they can always find information. If you have anything at World Event Network, you could find it with me at Michigan Avenue Media, Marcia Cook, and in case you want to ask a question of any of the authors that were on, that just let me know and we can contact them. All right, go ahead. Everybody want to give their websites? Or go ahead. Michelle?
I'll go. I suggested it. Okay. Michelle Prince, and I'm at michelleprincebooks.com, but since my parents can't spell, it's M-I-C-H-E-L, Prince as in the artist formerly known as. Books.
Right, that's how I remember it now. I remember you say that, that's why, right.
That's right, and of course also on Facebook under Michelle Prince Books, and Twitter is MichellePrince1, I believe. Like I said, in a few weeks I have the second book in my Growing Strong series. My Growing Strong book is the first one, The Guardian's Heart, is currently up at Long and Short Reviews. It's up for Book of the Year. So please go over there and give it a nice big vote, because I need all the votes I can get, since I'm against some big names there. But that would be all my great writing news.
That's great. Okay, Sable?
You can find me at sablehunter.com. I'm also on Facebook at Author Sable Hunter. Twitter at Hunter Sable. I have a book coming out next month. Ryan and I do, actually. We're writing together, Ryan O'Leary and I. We do that quite often. And we're putting out Thunderbird, and he'll also be working with me on our Red Hot and Boom. So we have
good.
A lot of excitement coming out.
Yeah, a lot going on. Yes. You also have a magazine you're doing, and, that's coming out. So you've got a lot. Graylin?
I'm on graylinfox.com. My other pen name is Rain, R-A-N-E, Shadeen, S-J-O-D-I-N,
.com. The same type of, that's just another series that you're
Shadeen
writing?
The Rain Shadeen books are, it's a whole world, and it's much more dark fantasy.
Okay.
For people who like that. But the, from those websites, you can find me on Twitter or Facebook. It's Graylin Fox or Rain Shadeen, either one. Both of them have email addresses, Facebooks, and Twitter accounts under those names.
All right, that's good. All right, Randy?
Yes, I'm at Facebook. It is at Randy Alexander Books is my page, and I've always got a good contest going on. So stop by and enter the contest. And my website is randyalexander.com. And you can find all my books there, and I have the first chapters of all my books as well. And I was just counting. I have 4 self-published books coming out in the next 3 months, so it's a very busy time for me right now. The first one coming out is a longer book. It's about 250 pages. It's Heart of Steel, which is the second book in the Hot Country series, which is about country western.
Now, what city do you live in?
My home base is in Wichita Falls, Texas, but we live a little bit further north of there because my husband's company likes to move us around a lot.
Right. I figured you had to do that. Did you ride horses a lot?
I haven't ridden a horse since I broke my leg, and I have four pins holding it together a few years ago. So I'm a little bit afraid of them right now.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah, it can be dangerous, but, you know, but
yeah.
I figured you had to be somewhere around me, right? Okay, and Cassandra, you also speak, though. You go out and speak, I think, right? You go out and speak?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Where do you
me?
Go? Well, yeah, Randy, for a second. I know that you're a speaker. So where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
Just different places?
Yeah, last year I gave a workshop at RT, Romantic Times Convention, in Kansas City about promotion, and that was a lot of fun. I don't have any speaking engagement set up for this year, so if anyone wants me, I'm available. I'll go anywhere.
Right. Well, that's nice. That's good.
Yeah.
So are you going to... Cassandra, is anybody going to any of the conventions? I mean, I haven't been to any of them. I keep saying I'm going, but I never do.
This is Michelle. I'm going to two this year. My first time. That'd be awesome. I'm going to be in Atlanta at the end of March, last weekend of March, for a novel experience.
Oh,
and then I'm going to be at RomCon in Denver in June.
Wow. Cassandra, do you go to them? Do you go to...
I normally go to Fandom Fest and Mysticon and some of those. I'm not sure I'm going to any of them this year. It's kind of one of those, let's get a whole lot of books out all the rights were given back to me. So I've had a lot of expense in that area.
Yeah, yeah. I've noticed you have a lot coming up in your covers. Yes, I see them. Yes. You lack going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Because it is expensive to start doing these things, but I do, you know, it depends on, you know, a lot of people really like them, you know, and I just was wondering, because I say I'm going to go out and speak, but I don't know. I just am so busy all the time, and I don't sign up for the right things, or I don't, you know, and I think I have to try to do some of these things, but.
And Kristen would like people to know she'll be at Indie Girl Con in Charleston, South Carolina at the end of the month.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And everybody's so. I was in Daytona for the Coastal Magic Convention last weekend, and I'll be in New Orleans for RT in May.
For the magic? Magic? Does that help you meet new people or readers?
It does. Coastal Magic is a very small convention. There's a grand total of, I think, 300 people, mm-hmm. where I think it's 10 times that at RT. Very cozy, very nice. There was quite a number of book clubs that drove across
really?
The state just to
wow.
come in for the book buying. Yeah, it was lovely.
That's called the
Coastal Magic.
Coastal Magic.
And
they
this is Randy.
Randy.
Okay.
Because I'm going to Romantic Times RT Convention also in New Orleans, and the first autograph I'm going to get is Sable Hunters. So I'm very excited to meet you, Sable.
Are you going? Oh, Sable's going. Right, yeah. That's the only place I want to go to. I really want... No, I actually have a few. Nashville, New Orleans. I wanted to I really wanted to be at those cities. I wanted to go there. You know, and when is it, the New Orleans?
May 15th, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I really need to do some of these things, too. And a lot of people, you know, I think it's very beneficial for a lot of people, you know, and there's certainly other ones that people go to that have readers, and I heard those are very, I think we talked about that on my show before, that some of the conventions where there's readers, they're very interested when authors come.
That's where I'm going to the novel experience. There's supposed to be 300 to 400 readers.
Novel experience? Okay.
Yeah, it's built, we have to, like, as authors, we'll be on panels and have meet and greets. And
that's nice.
It's a reader-only event, really. There's no workshop.
I think to get some of these readers on. We tried. I've tried to get, I always ask readers, please come on. We'd like to hear what the readers have to say about, but it's very hard. Readers don't want to come on shows. I ask all the time, but still asking in case anybody wants to ever come on, because I really think it would be interesting to talk to readers, how they feel about books. All right, so this is a long show. I haven't really done this, but we had a lot to do in this show. All right, so good luck with everything for everybody, and thank you all for being on. And just if you have something coming out and you want to be on, you know, Michelle knows that you just can email me. Because, that, you know, I can arrange other shows if it's not the one show. So I'm happy to have, you know, and I love to have people come on again because it's nice to have people that you know. So, and Michelle makes her way around. Michelle makes her way around, right?
Wow, wait a second. Don't make it sound like that.
Well, it's not in a bad way. It's a good way. I think, don't you think it's a good way? Because I once did a show with four people who were on it, and the guy that was on the guest, he just thought we all lived in the same area. We all knew each other. Well, you know, because a lot of us have never met, but we do know each other and from over the years, you know. When Cassandra and I met, we were at Red River, and it was like, I think there's like 40 people that had shows, right? Like a lot of shows.
Right.
With a lot of people. And I once did a show because I thought it was good to meet everybody. So I did meet everybody. You were on that show, Cassandra. And I think it's good when everybody meets everybody. You know, I think it's that's why I loved when I heard what you guys were doing because I think it's really a good idea. So all right, everybody have a good night. And some of you will be up. Some of you will go to sleep. I hope you know, weren't sleeping during this. All right, so everybody have a interesting weekend and week, whatever. All right, thank you all for coming on.
Thank
you. I will
be
here next Tuesday.
Good night.
All right,
thank you.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye, Kristen and Ty. I'll talk to you guys at my show. Bye. Feel better. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.